was it woke up that they were stranded in Atlanta airport and Mikel now had to pay for us to fly. And I was this was like, which year was this? Like, was it?
Wait, isn't that this story that the coach was fighting Mikel for? I don't know.
Like, these stories have been happening since
we were. They were arguing that he'd not pay.
Like, why should he even be paying?
They were now attacking him that, you know, you're
the, you know, money again. Sure?
You know, a patriot.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Five Aside. Before we start, I would like to shout out to our 500 plus subscribers. That's our first milestone, I believe, and hopefully we double it. You know, we're not trying to bottle YouTube. So please, you guys, let's double this. And thanks a lot for the support. You know, this is a lot of encouragement because we love talking about soccer and we love to keep talking football, actually. Anyway, there's only one place to start today. Nigeria versus Gabon.
Gabon.
Obama where? Obama Black Clark Yang. Obama who?
You like me in gym.
That was a fun game. I'm always surprised why I actually get really stressed watching Nigeria. But at least we won today. Anyway, so it's your boy Chidalo, Sam, and we have Ugo on the call. Ugo is still struggling with his camera, but hopefully comes on soon. I don't think you guys have you guys met?
I don't think so.
Yeah, no, this is Sam. Chelsea fan. Ugo.
Chelsea fan. Hey, good.
Yes, sir.
I think it's
I respect Chelsea, sir. Chelsea is one of those things. I respect Chelsea.
I'm guessing you're a United fan.
Yep.
Last pod.
I knew it. I can always tell you're a United fan. I don't know how.
How?
I don't know. I can feel it.
Just as now, I really hate. Like, that's not the good. I respect Chelsea is a respectable rivalry. Not these days, Sha.
But anyway, what do you guys think about the game? Did you enjoy it? Were you able to focus?
I can go first for this one because Nigerian national team is the bane of my existence as a sports fan. I don't know why I haven't fully detached from them like any sane person. But I'm working on myself and I'll get there eventually. Yeah, prior to the game, I know we all heard about the NFF, the strike that happened and the eventual resolution with the players.
And yeah. So, like,
hearing that right before a crucial World Cup qualifier was just disheartening because these are the stories that we've been hearing all our adult lives. Actually, since we were kids, like, yeah, we always have administrative problems or, you know, the NFF or the NFE, well, depending on which era you're in, right, has always had problems with, you know, the team and squad selection, and that always translates to underperformance on the pitch. So, honestly, I was already expecting underperformance on the pitch again today. And it wasn't really like that, though. The first half was pretty decent. The lineup was the most attacking I had seen Nigeria use in a while. And I think that the Eric Chell, the manager, was very bold in his selection. And I commend him for that. He started Benjamin Frederick, who was my personal man of the match, in center back. No Semi Ajayi, no Trust Ekong. He just played Frederick, Calvin Bassey, Osai Samuel, Zaidu. Then, curiously, he started with Chukwueze in the midfield. He did Iwobi, Ndidi, Chukwueze, then Akko Adams, Lookman Ademola, and Osimhen up top. So that's probably the most attacking lineup I've seen us use in a while. We've had a midfield problem. We can't seem to play like a midfield three. properly. It's always like Ndidi and Iwobi, always in the midfield, stable mm-hmm. midfield. And I think it's been Iwobi's had 90 caps today, so congrats to him. He's been like very consistent, regardless of what you want to say about him. He's been very consistent for at least 10 years playing for the national team. So it's very, I was very impressed, and I actually really respect him a lot, right? We blast him, we attack him, or he's not creative enough, he's not good enough, or whatever. But he's been a model professional, and he's shown up and always respected the call every time. Whether it's because his uncle is JJ Okocha and he never had a choice, but as an adult, as a professional, as a footballer, he has tried, and I will give him his flowers. Anyways, I said it was an attacking lineup, right? And it showed, right? Because we created, well, it wasn't still good football. We still haven't gotten to where we are playing consistent good football that mm-hmm. we are used to watching, supporting our teams, right? We haven't gotten there, and I don't think we'll get there until we bring in new blood into this team. Benjamin Frederick was a step in the right direction. I have never seen, and I said this in the group chat, I have never seen a more composed performance from a Nigerian player since prime John Obi Mikel. Like, I have never seen that much composure from a kid at this point. Like, he was, even in the beginning of the game, they were pressing him. He was press resistant. He picked his passes. He was immaculate on the ball. He was aggressive when he needed to be. He did not make any mistakes. He was error free.
That's fact.
Couldn't believe that we've had this boy. Whoever scouted that boy, man, that person has an education. I am very proud.
There's one cup.
National team player.
What cup was that again?
What?
There's a cup where he shone in. I think it's a youth something cup. I saw that somewhere. I wrote that down. But 100%.
The guy was immaculate. And if we were more clinical in the final third, I think we'd have probably taken the lead earlier on. I will say, though, this one is more of a question. What did you guys think about the penalty incident, the VAR incident? Did you guys think it was a penalty?
Before you say something, when you say prime Obi Mikel, I don't know why I couldn't think of anything besides 2005 final, 2005 cup. No. 2005 under 20.
Well, I think you can think of 2013 AFCON winning Obi Mikel. That's a good.
I think you're echoing. Yeah, I'm trying to. Is it better now?
Sam, can I say something?
Yeah. Hello.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well.
Better now.
All right. Yeah. I hope it doesn't echo, Sha, because I see your echo cancellation is on off. Anyway, you say, what do we think of who?
You were talking about Obi Mikel, and you were saying you can't think of since.
No, when you say prime, I say.
Just think of if you watched the last. I watched the last. I mean, the only African Cup of Nations that I've seen us win.
Sundemba.
Right? Right, Sundemba. But Mikel was immaculate that whole tournament.
Yeah,
he was very, very good. And ironically, like the curious thing about Benjamin Frederick, talking about him, if we're bringing it back, is that he was. What's that thing? I think he came from one of the teammates' academy. I think it's Moses Simon himself, actually. Moses Simon's academy, that's where he came from.
Oh, wow.
Which is so funny. Yeah, he's from Moses Simon's academy.
He's very good.
He's very, very
You asked a question, sure. though. What do we
well, ask what you thought about the VAR. Sorry, what did you say?
I said, see what investing in grassroots football does for yours, for the country.
Yeah, they should keep it up, and they should probably, like, be bringing talent like that so that we can usher out the Moses Simon himself too. We should be ushering him out. Thank you for bringing Benjamin Fringy, but Youssef, follow and be going. Like, I was asking about the VAR decision. Did you think it was a penalty?
Yeah, I didn't think it was a penalty because I felt like the guy felt. I mean, yes, granted that on the Nigerian defender had his hands on the guy's shirt. Yeah, but. I feel like the attacker felt he wasn't going to get the ball, then kind of threw himself on the floor after that. So if he was given that, it would have been very, very soft. But
okay.
Yeah, I felt like it was very soft. I saw the hand. I'm not gonna lie, the contact was there. Yes, I saw it. But I think he was going for the header, and then he realized, yeah, I don't get this ball, and just kind of fell.
I mean, he can't do that if he knows this is a foul. Like, this is a foul. Is a foul.
I think in the Premier League, it would have been a penalty.
Easily.
Yeah, yes. I think so too.
I think 110 in the Prem, it gets given. I commend the referee, Shah, for taking his time to, like, look at all angles and be, like, very, very clear that, okay, this is not, you know, I can see what this guy is trying to do, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I was actually good with that. And even when we scored, right, with the Ako Adams mistake and, well, the defender's mistake and then Ako Adams scoring, I still thought, like, their equalizer was well-deserved because... the second half, we didn't play well again. We didn't play well enough, in my opinion. We didn't do well enough to have won the game. But I just thought, it just seemed like Nwabali is just not... I know it was a deflection. I know it's not his fault. I don't want to blame him. Like, I know it's more Osayi Samuel's fault. But I just feel like his head is not fully there. And if you watch the game, you notice that he was making very close mistakes. Like, they would press him and you have to clear the ball really quickly. Like, I don't know. I still think that our goalkeeping situation, if we make it to the World Cup, we have to think very, 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 very seriously.
Mm-hmm. I'll be honest. Overall, I think he was decent today, more than previous performances.
Fair.
Compared to previous performances.
Yes. Okay, yeah. My issue with him is not really even the actual mistakes he made in this game, but it's just the nerves I felt.
The nerves. And I on felt the big stage, they will press you.
Every time he
kicks the ball away, every single time I saw an attacker coming towards him, I was scared that something will happen. I think whenever a keeper makes you feel that way, there's probably something wrong. If he smells like she's probably shit. Like, it just feel nervous because of them. Yeah, that's never good because you can imagine his defenders might feel the same way. But honestly, I think our defense is pretty, pretty good. I can't lie. Nigerian defense is pretty good. Besides Benjamin Frederick. His name just sounds like an American president. I don't know why. Besides Frederick, this guy, Calvin Bassey, is also very, very assured. He's a very assured defender.
Yeah,
I like him. I think he's grown on me a lot. Like, I'm very confident whenever he made one mistake I saw, but overall, like, he's very composed as well.
Very composed.
He's very composed as well, and I like his ball carrying ability. Both of them, we have two ball playing defenders actually.
I would say that Zaidu on the other side, his crossing leaves a lot to be desired, and maybe when Olaina comes back, because you know Olaina can play like right and left. I think we should probably start looking.
We get talent.
Yeah, we get talent. My biggest problem in Nigeria is always the midfield, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think that our midfield is what it needs to be. Like we said in the last, you know, international pod, like, blueprint is Senegal.
Mm-hmm.
And we should be aiming to, like, be the cream of the crop in African football.
But besides our midfield, though, I feel like this guy, what's his name again? What do you think of this guy's performance in attack? Osimhen's striking partner.
Oh, sorry, somebody was at my door. I just came back. Are you talking about Ako Adams?
Yeah,
I think he was okay.
The first half, I didn't like. He seemed too pragmatic. He was always not willing to, like, actually push forward. Every time he got the ball, he passed it back.
This is, like, third game for Nigeria.
I understand.
I think we should probably give... If the person I'm worried about is actually Ademola Lookman, like, guy, like, where's the... You're supposed to be the Batman or Robin to Osimhen.
Osimhen.
At least in this current squad.
He's far from me too. He's like a spectator, like us.
He's been a spectator. this is the former African Player of the Year. Like, and he's not yet 30. Like, we should be demanding more from him.
He played in midfield today, right?
Yeah. He was coming in a lot, but it wasn't.
He was coming in a lot, yeah. Which should not be happening, because if the midfield is doing, if you have a solid midfield where somebody is sitting, one person is carrying, and the other one is like playmaking, then we should be they should only be focused on the final third. A lot of the times, these guys have to come back and be carrying the ball or collecting the ball, and I just don't think that that's sustainable. I know we'll get to the biggest part of the night was that Osimhen miss, right? And I feel like we need to talk about that.
Yes, but before we even get like to talk about that, the midfield,
that was it
sucks. Did he get in that you look at the beginning? Honestly, I was very, very nervous every time I saw him trying to tackle someone.
And that's NDD for you. Like, we can't be going forward with that guy like that. I love him, but man, he can't be your six going forward.
He doesn't have the legs yet, because he because you look at it, he wasn't really going in on tackles like that. So it was easy to just run by our midfield whenever Gabon desired. Honestly, if I was Gabon, I'd have pressed harder. I don't think they pressed us high enough.
Just going directly at him.
He does good central, but them today, they clearly have their own issues. Second half, they were better. But first half, Gabon was... they are more nervous than our keeper.
Gabon didn't do enough to get Aubameyang on the ball. They had qualified very well. They were unfortunate, right? Out of all the four teams that are doing this qualifiers, right? They had the most points.
Yeah.
Right? More than Cameroon, Niger, and Congo. And they shouldn't even really, truly, they shouldn't be here, but it is what it is. I expected more from them, and I expected them to try and, like, find him more, but they just seemed too passive.
He had a very good run. That guy is still fast at his age.
Yeah. They should have been, I thought they were, their whole, I thought that, I hadn't watched enough of Gabon, but from what I saw, right, the team was very, very, it's a very functional team. It's a very functional squad. Right, same as Congo. Congo is very, very functional. And I guess maybe later on we'll talk about them, because that's who we're going to face.
Yeah.
But I thought that they were going to use, like, playing balls in behind into space for Aubameyang to target Calvin Bassey. But I guess they were not doing that. So more power to us on that one.
But yeah, something else I want to mention. Yeah. About the wing thing, I know you said you felt like Lukman should be maybe stayed out wide and attacked the flanks a little bit more than he did. But I felt in that first half, we actually find a lot of spaces centrally, especially with Chukwueze and Lukman as well, that I don't think they used enough, even though they found Osimhen like two, three times.
Should have scored.
A lot, he should have scored. Probably, I think he should have gone into the halftime break leading that game, for sure. Yes. Osimhen, before the extra time, I don't think he was at his clinical best. I think I have a theory on himself. He's not as bad as Nunez, of course. But I think he might actually be better when he doesn't have time to think. Because, like, I have to miss a few one-on-ones.
Yeah, that's what you're saying. Like,
he has so much time.
He's more of an instinctual striker.
I was shocked he missed that one, but I'm not shocked overall that he missed, that he specifically missed.
That was crazy.
So my thing with Osimhen, right? Oh, go where you're trying to go, sorry.
No, you go.
Yeah. All right. My thing with Osimhen is that I'm a big Osimhen fan, right?
Yeah, I am too.
I wanted him for Chelsea. I still think that Osimhen in Chelsea and this current squad, we are firmly in the title conversation. Whether we win or not, it's neither here nor there. We're firmly in the title conversation with him, right? But, and I think we raved about him in the last pod, like, this was a legacy game for him. That was a legacy game for him, right? And he still scored 2 goals today. Let's not make it look as if he... But I think we need to speak on, like, his inconsistencies with one-on-one. And I think, thinking about what you're saying, when he has time to think, that might be... You know, that might be a problem, because he had to think, then open his body, then skidibe. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
Skidibe.
I don't know if that I don't think that's acceptable, right? Haaland misses one on ones too, but Haaland would miss max one-on-one. That's the only bonus he will give you.
So once in a while, though, it's a
right? That's why for me, right, he's on top, right? Of course, he's the best.
Yeah.
We can argue all we want, but to me, he's the best striker in the world currently, right? Then we have Mbappe, Kane, you know. I think that after Mbappe and Kane, then Osimhen is just below that for me, right? But those inconsistencies in one-on-ones, in those snap chances that you have in a World Cup, in an AFCON, it is going to cost the team. You will not get another one.
I'll say one thing, though. I know Haaland has improved in his headers, but I'll still say Osimhen is probably better on the air, in the air, generally.
He is. That's okay. So for in terms of attributes, he's the best in the air out of all of them. Right, but everybody, all of them have their other attributes. Like, for instance, none of them, the strikers I mentioned, are better than Harry Kane in ball striking. Nobody strikes a ball better than Harry Kane. That's why, even as he's older and he has lost pace, I want no concern.
You can't take that for it.
Then Mbappe is the most agile of all of them, right?
So he's probably fastest.
Haaland is fast too.
Most direct,
You know, speed, trickery, many, many things. You know, Mbappe is the flair, then Haaland is like, you know,
okay, the robot. The
monster. He's a Viking.
And in the air, Osimhen is king. Yeah. Well, anyway, Nigeria made it to Osimhen ended up scoring 2 goals, besides the fact that we are bashing his wastefulness.
Yeah.
Got 2 goals. The guy I was bashing during in the group chat scored the first one. You know, I had to swallow my words.
Because of the commentator, I mean, what did they call that thing?
I swear.
Don't feel bad. I had a Lamine Yamal agenda in the Euros and I had to swallow it. I had a very serious Lamine Yamal agenda and I had to pack it.
Literally when I was bashing the coach.
You're a Lamine fan. Don't worry. I have time for you.
Wait, no, Ugo, you're a Lamine fan.
I support him. For Lamine, I feel like Lamine is probably top 2 or top 3 best 17-year-olds we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
As a 17-year-old at that age. Mm-hmm. Him with Rooney, and I don't know which other 17-year-old has just wowed me like that.
Michael Owen, 18.
18, but I mean, you're winning Ballon d'Or at such a young age.
Like, I don't think I appreciate. I was old enough to appreciate Owen when he won the Ballon d'Or. So.
I didn't see him winning. I heard about him winning it, but
I heard about
Owen
it.
When I was watching football, Owen by that time, his time was done.
He was already balling. He was always injured, actually, to be honest. I knew he was a G. I just knew him as a baller that he won Ballon d'Or a few years prior.
He really had a proper football life. Bro.
In Madrid, he didn't even bother like that. But no, let's go back to Niger first.
Yeah, back to
Ako Adams scored literally after I finished abusing the coach for not taking him out and taking out Chukwueze instead.
To give props though, right? Although Ndidi got the yellow card, you do know you watched it, so you saw that he gave the true pass
for
Osimhen to miss.
Yes. Right?
Late in the game, and also gave the true pass for this guy Chidera Abi, Ejike to score, and I'm happy for him. That's his first goal for Nigeria. Very, very well taken goal, and well, weight of pass. Ndidi still has quality, so all of them are calling old glory. I think he still has. I think he still has a job to do in national.
I mean, the Osimhen one was easy enough. I think the Ejike one probably.
It's easy enough, but there are people that won't give that pass.
Won't give that pass or overplay that pass.
Overplay the pass.
True, fair play.
So props to him there.
And it is he's been a soldier alongside Iwobi that you mentioned earlier. He's been a steady soldier for years, even though I think we can improve on that position.
I think that Iwobi has done enough for me to stop bashing him, right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't. If we have an improvement, of course, if there's a better player, please, by all means. But I would look to positions to go in, by the grace of God, we make the World Cup, right? By the grace of God, because we still have to meet Congo.
Yes.
And that's another fight in itself.
And there's another fight after that.
Yeah, there's still another fight. Yes. But like I said on the last one, if we beat Congo, the other fight is probably
should be easier.
But you know Nigeria.
Paper. Like if Nigeria loses to New Caledonia, then I think we have to set the nation, and all of us that have claimed that country before, we have to also give up our last name. We have to give our last name to whatever New Caledonia gives us, whatever name they give us. Because that's it.
I heard Jamaica's playing tonight.
But I feel like it doesn't. So when I did the calculation, right, there was only one country that could qualify that would be higher ranked than Nigeria. I think it was Paraguay or somebody. I think I said it the last time. So more than likely, if we win, we are going to be the highest ranked country in that tournament.
Okay.
So we're going straight. We only
play. I'm not trying to meet no Paraguay. You are big.
I was about to say.
We won't meet anybody ranked higher than us.
Give me Dubai. Give me UAE.
So
that's what I think. I think any African team that makes it through should probably be the highest, and we'll play one more game.
We'll play only one more game, but the battle will be on Sunday with Congo.
I said I'm not even sure about that battle.
Yeah, that one is probably going to be heartbreak, man. Sure, but
yeah, I was pretty sure about it. You enlightened me on all the players that we might potentially face.
Congo lost that on penalties. And in the qualifiers, they won 7 out of their 8 games.
Damn.
It's only Senegal that went on. It's because it's Senegal that was in their group that they were here with us. Congo went on, they went 7 games. They won 7 out of their 8 games. They are not a joke. You are talking about Wan-Bissaka, that the African game is made for him. Like that, he's Gragra, slide tackle.
Slide tackle.
The African game is built for him. There's Twanzebe, there's Arthur Masuaku, there's Chancel Mbemba, there's Siddiqui, there's
I looked at the lineup.
The only hope is that Wissa is not here, right? Because Wissa is injured, right? So thank God, right? They're a very, very solid team, and they are very, very practical. Their defense is top. I know, like Cameroon were odds on to win Congo, but that's only because of Cameroon's legacy in African football, right? And not on paper. And I think Cameroon had 3 wins, 3 draws, no losses. On form, Congo is better than Cameroon. I would actually, funny enough, I would have taken Cameroon because I know Nigeria gets hype for Cameroon. They take them personal, right? So the players already have the hype for it, right? They're already up for it. But Congo is more like, it's practical. And if it gets down to it, I think they might just edge us. And I think it might just be one stupid skidibé 1-0 match. One header, hits the bar, Nwabali punches inside the net. Bam, we don't go out.
Our form hasn't been too shabby, at least since this new coach, Eric Chell. So it looks like we are kicking into gear at the right time. And to be fair, you said maybe we actually thrive in chaos. Maybe we need more of this, because last time we won our game at B, they say we slept in hotel. We did not have hotel and everything, and we had to wait.
The anger to feel.
We did not train or whatever. So maybe the anger actually helps us. Maybe the chaos actually plays into our favor.
But imagine going into a match, you're battling all these things with unpaid fees, you're sleeping where you should, like it's not comfortable, and then you have to go and play a World Cup qualifier, knowing that if you lose, the whole country will come and start attacking you for no reason. I mean, there is reason, but like these guys are suffering. There's European nations, they don't worry about these type of things. Like, why is it only us that we're going into World Cup qualifier with these things on our mind? As a footballing nation,
it's been the same way since. Like I remember when we had was it World Cup that they were stranded in Atlanta Airport, and Mikel now had to pay for us to fly, and I was like, this was like which year was this? Like was it 2018?
Wait, isn't that this story that the coach was fighting Mikel for? I don't know.
Like these stories have been happening since.
They were arguing that he'd not pay.
Why should he even be paying?
They were now attacking him that they were attacking him that he wanted reimbursement. They are saying that is he not your are you
Where's money again?
That are you not a patriot? Hey God. Man, the entitlement in that country is crazy.
It's so funny. This guy, what's his name, Olise, said they owe him 26K USD, and he can't, like he said, I can't collect money from my fatherland. I'm like, 26K, even my mama.
People are mad. The guy is mad, man. The guy is bad. Same nation that fired him.
Same nation that fired him. Like, are you people well? Like, give him his money. Why are we still having these problems in big 2020?
Wait, he said he cannot collect.
He said he can't like, he wanted to take them to court, but he couldn't sue his fatherland. Can't sue my father,
yeah. Why you not you're suing for because of your fatherland?
I will sue them knowing I'll win, but I can't be okay now. They play. And that's probably what they thought they would do with this. That's probably what they thought they would do with this generation. These ones.
Me, when I saw that they were on strike, I said, that's very good. Let's not go to the World Cup. Let's not go. Like, I was actually happy. I was like, you know what? When they say we're on strike and then FIFA, you forfeit the match, and I don't think FIFA will just automatically give the team that you're playing 3-0.
Yeah.
Then when they do that and that happens, then everybody's eye will clear that, okay, bam, this is
not on world news. Nigeria fears world news.
Where it hurts. Huh?
I said Nigeria fears being on world news.
Yeah, that's their problem. Yeah. That's why, I mean, insecurity and what's happening right now, right? I guess that's a different conversation. But that's what needs to happen so that when that happens, everybody will understand, like, okay, now you're not getting money from qualification.
It's good that they shouldn't have shame. I didn't think they had shame before, if I'm being honest. I guess it works. At least they paid them. We were happy about it, and the boys ended up winning. Because I was actually when I saw they had paid them, I really wanted them to win. They had to win because not now. They now end up going and losing. All these Nigerian fans on Twitter will start, like the stupid ones, and I'll be like, "You guys are money because of money. Couldn't you protest after the match?" Mm-hmm. And all those things. I'm really happy they actually won at least.
Well, even though they've paid them, do you know how many other sectors of Nigerian football they haven't paid? So if you just helped the Super Eagles, then Falcons, they haven't yet collected our money under 17 that they were giving 100.
This battle is going to be... It's really crazy because I was looking it up. So they had actually given NFF the money for the players. So they gave them about 17 billion distance. Why is no one asking, like, so why have you paid? Like, who is supposed to give them this money? Like, you guys have the money. So it's not that the money is not there, because clearly they gave it to them, so they had the money. Mm-hmm. So why are they delaying? What's the point? Like, I don't understand it. No one's asking the right questions. It's crazy.
We can share the bread.
Nah, it's actually insane. It's actually insane. I don't know, man. At this point, this one is a whole conversation about the politics, the corruption. It goes deep.
It's so bad, and it always like ends up affecting the football. That's why you can never really have hope for Nigeria. You can have hope, right, of course, but you can never have like realistic beliefs of our success, right? Like, I just wanted to reach a stage that all we are talking about is the football.
It's just the football, yeah. Because it's...
Right? All we are talking about is tactics.
Yeah.
Like, we play 4-3-2-1 versus back five. I don't want us to have this conversation of NFF is not paying this. This one's the mongers, their money. They're not getting a bonus. Yeah. Where they are sleeping, like...
Yeah.
Why are we still having this type of conversation?
It all connects. And you're right. Because look at... We cannot think about the talent development as well. And are they providing the right infrastructure, the right training, putting the right money towards this academy to actually develop this talent? Because apparently, like, we are down, when Osimhen, they went to under 17 back then, like, we've gone way down the hill from then. Like, our under 17 is rubbish.
For sure.
Yeah, we are losing all our losing games. I saw those 4-0.
Yeah.
Our clubs are playing rubbish in the cat in the.
Oh, when the last one was not in Bano, since has any team like come and won like CAF Champions
League. There was a point where we were developing talent, you know, youth talent. But now,
why must a private a player, right? I know it looks good, right? Right, as a testament of Moses Simon's academy. But if you think, if you step back, why should a player's private academy be the one funneling talent into the national team? Yeah, like if you think about it, like that shouldn't be happening. There should be a like, there should be like a like okay, like France French football, Clairefontaine.
Yeah, or the clubs, or the clubs. The actual league.
The clubs themselves develop. Yeah. Like why? Like if you take a step back, that's terrible. Like why? Where's the natural progression of like all of them played under 17, then under 20.
We have a league, at least
back in the day we used to have Melo and Pepsi Academy. We don't have any of these anymore, man.
But guys, even besides all these academies, we have a freaking league. What are they doing?
Man, that league, me, I follow that league, but that league, oh god, that's not even a
league is funny, anymore. Right? I have this thing that I do in one of my group chats where I always name myself or change my name to the names of the Nigerian Premier League teams that have won the league, right? So my name will be like, you know, like
Remo Stars,
Enugu Rangers, Remo Stars, or Akwa, my personal favorite, Akwa United, because they won one league. Or there'll be many, but none of these teams, other than Inba, of course, in recent memory, have even won the CAF Champions League to say that they can even play in Club World Cup. To see like Nigerian representation in Club World Cup.
Yeah,
and that'd be amazing.
That'd be amazing. Like imagine like your national, imagine Remo Stars, random, right? Because those ones, they're not winning. Playing against maybe Chelsea. And you're like, wow. Like, this is the club you support, of course, but you'll be looking at it like, you know what? I see something here. Like, it's a moment of pride for you.
Yeah.
Remember when, man, you beat Caterpillar 7-0 in a friendly match in Nigeria?
Yes.
Yeah, this was like during my GS3 holiday, I think.
Dude, that level but those ones, you'll still live in memories.
See, hopefully one day the standard of the league will improve because right now we are basically being carried by the products of European football, like all the Osimhens and DDs and everything. I mean, it's good that we're such a big country. Of honestly, Nigeria, when people are like, you need to reduce our population, this is our population is carrying us. So. it's really carrying us.
See,
for real, because all these, there's just no way we are not going to produce talent. Like, both good and bad. There's
all those
no
women that used to have 20 children, I say, one of the children was blue.
Turkey, next is still in Premier League, next is still somewhere else.
Josephine had an academy in my estate, like this, bro. In that house he has, so it was basically his old house he used to live in, like a two-story, six-bedroom house. He stopped living there. He just funneled like, you go to the house, you see like 20 young men, all of them going to his academy. But at that time, it was a good thing to see. But then it started becoming bad because they stopped paying electricity bill. The house, they will be going to other people's houses to go and fetch water. All these type of things, it's like, God, bro.
Wow.
It was a crazy thing to see, man. I don't know that.
Yeah, Yobo, nice talking about Yobo. You know, like, low-key, we are literally seeing, Yobo was a very composed, I don't think that's composed like this guy, let me know that, Benjamin Frederick, but his defensive partnership with, I think, Ike Okechukwu, that was really good at the time. You are both really composed. I think this is the most similar defensive partnership. That's Calvin Bassey and Frederick right now.
He started as he was a right back at first,
Joseph Yobo. That's a Barclays man, right?
Everton's back line that year.
Yeah, that was Barclays man right there.
Household name, yep.
I didn't like the fact that, I don't know, that 2002 World Cup that we lost all our games pissed me off. I never want to see that type of shit
I actually did not rate Yobo when he was playing, I'll be honest. But I think as I grew older, I started respecting him.
No, I liked him at Everton, though.
At Everton, but Nigeria, I didn't like him.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
We are not really that good. Anyway, is there anything else you want to say, talk about Nigeria? Because I think we've said everything that needs to be said, even extra stuff.
Yeah.
So how do we approach Congo?
That's what I was going to say. Like, we have to think about how we are going to...
That first half, we should just try and replicate it. And maybe find a way to build Lookman's confidence. Because maybe he looks like he's bereft of some confidence, especially like when it comes to taking on players. It could have something to do with his form in Atlanta, the fact that they've not really been playing him as much. And
they've sacked Ivan Juric, which is probably one of the worst coaches I have seen in a long time. I have not seen somebody fall upwards so much. That guy has been failing at his clubs and still getting the next
getting one. Getting better jobs, yeah.
Who was Atlanta's former manager again? That was really good. Atlanta's former manager.
Gasperini.
Yeah, that was...
Yeah, but it was a bit racist, yeah, but okay.
Did he show the true colors against him?
Italian football, they're always very... They have comma when it comes to...
He was a very good coach.
But he was a very... That one is as a coach...
Yeah, this fight is a morals.
I think to be fair, the coach, our coach has kind of gotten almost every tactic right so far, right? Like, for instance, right, if we took our chances, like, he had actually coached what was supposed to happen, a win. And every game he's made a small tweak. Okay, yeah. I'll drop Trust Ekong here. He'll play this one, then I'll take him off. Then I know he knows he's been very good. Especially when I saw the lineup and I saw Osai Samuel and Frederick. I was like, because I know the last game, I think Frederick played right back. I was like, so is he trusting this boy to play center back in this do or die game? And he was. And I was like, okay. And of course, that was my man of the match. Like, watching him, it was so refreshing. I was like, God, you still did work for this country. Like, it was so refreshing watching that boy. He's on loan from Brentford, funny enough, but he's in which league? Is it Belgian league?
Brentford needs to bring him back.
Immediately.
As soon as possible.
Yeah, he's in Denda Ihich or something. But I think he's on loan from Brentford. It was so refreshing to see that guy in the back line. And I think that of course, we already know what the lineup is going to be. It's going to be Calvin Bassey for sure, Nwabali,
Frederick.
I think it might be Frederick again, Ndidi, Iwobi. Then how he's going to do that third midfield player, I don't know. I don't know if he's going to do Chukwueze again.
Chukwueze wasn't bad. I was very surprised they took him off. Maybe he is. I mean, he's a coach. I'm not a coach, but I didn't really think he was. I didn't think he was bad.
But we thought he should take off Ako Adams and look at what happened. So that's why I say, like, the thing is that every time he drops a lineup, there's always a question mark for me, and somehow it works out, right? He's low key been getting it right. So I would leave it to him. I don't think there should be any back five or back four formation because Congo played the same thing, so we just have to like match them up. Their defense, man, their defense is not a joke.
We have Osimhen.
They have experience, man. They play to Anzebe and Mbemba. And Mbemba is even the one that scored. Mbemba is experienced. Between them, have to be on our A game.
When I watched Osimhen ruffle Konate and Van Dijk's feathers, ever since then I've been a believer.
I'm an Osimhen fan, though. I'm just criticizing him because I needed to like calm down, like, and be like, that miss is unforgivable.
No, it looked
a crazy miss, man.
It looked like he did not
have
bearings. Like, he acted like he was in the middle of the 18 and just played.
He didn't. If the ball came to him suddenly, then you can forget yourself. My guy, he took the ball. You are cooled down, like. There's no reason why that ball should not be on target. There's no reason.
At least let the keeper save it.
Yeah, except that one. There was no reason. I was like, ah.
I started screaming when he opened his body because I'm like, bro, you're literally on the right side of the 18. Like, where are you opening your body to?
Do you know how bad that miss was? That miss was so bad that I didn't watch again. I just put it up. I put up the TV. Like, I was like, it's okay. Like, you guys have resolved to sell this match and I'm not going to be a party to this.
You know that thing, though? I think because of how exhausted he was, his oxygen in his brain might have reduced.
If he like. So, where did oxygen come back for the two goals that he scored after? That's
what I'm thinking. Because I think maybe because he ran for a distance and he probably got tired. Because
but like, he misses. Yeah. He's inconsistent in one-on-ones.
Yeah, I agree. But you know, he runs a lot. So I think the amount of energy he dispenses probably affects him when he now has to calm down and like pick his spots. Like,
I guess, which is why he's very good in headers, because
yes,
you just need to
think when you connect, you don't go. But when you have to think. Please,
I agree with that, because if you saw the second goal, control. Bam. Don't think too much.
He doesn't like thinking. He's just a much better version of Nunes. I think Nunes had the same.
No. Okay, let's stop there.
Much better.
We are going too far. There are some names that should not be mentioned with Osimhen.
You go that because, way.
Yeah, it's not that deep. Let's stop. Nunes is not this
place. I'm a believer of Nunes, but let me just say
I'm not a believer of Nunes.
I think one day Nunes as a great striker.
I don't know.
No shit to ask that, but I'll take Nunes over Gyökeres.
Over who?
This guy just push me to the other side. I've thought saying Nunes hit her real quick. What do you mean? What do you mean by that? Let's be respectful.
We know what Nunes is bad at.
It's time to slander Gyökeres. I'll be back. But that Nunes guy, I've seen that guy. Like, I really think the season, the last club's last season, I really, really think he's the one that he's a very big part of why Liverpool did not win the league. He's a very, probably, in my opinion, the biggest reason.
He was the biggest underperformer of XG that season. He had a lot of high.
Yeah, that's the reason. And it was Klopp's, like, fatherly love and lack of ruthlessness that cost him that league. But that's a different conversation.
I will say something, though. He did win some 3 points for them on his own, like, coming off the bench.
Yes.
It was max 2 matches. Max 2 matches. Max 2 matches. I watch the same league as you, don't worry. 2 matches max. And for all those 2 matches, he paid it back. For the two matches, he also paid it back.
Also what he offers when he's not scoring goals.
Industry.
Running behind.
That's the number one attribute for an underperforming striker. Hard work.
I'm not gonna lie. See,
that's why Gyökeres. They always ask now fans are making excuse that he's working hard. See what he does for the team. That's the number one attribute for an underperforming striker. Hard work.
It's fine when you're winning. As long as you're working hard and you're not scoring. But if you're not scoring, be working hard. As long as you're winning.
That's all you can do. What else are you going to do? You're supposed to score. They're taking
away the pressure from Saka. That in itself is a skill set.
We are going to Arsenal slander right now, Gyökeres slander. Let's come back. Let's maintain focus.
As a Chelsea fan that has seen strikers fail more than both of them, I'm telling you, I've seen this film before. So the first striker I truly... It happened with Shevchenko. Fine. Mm-hmm. With Torres, I was waiting.
Timo Werner.
I was waiting. Those you are even going to... from Torres down to Morata. How Morata is my worst. I was waiting for all these niggas. You use hard work. You will chop hard work, die. Off the ball run, you go chop and die. You will find something for these guys. They know they score, bro.
I saw that Gyökeres first match. Heavy ass touch.
But he's improved since then.
They say not Timbaland in the way.
Another thing I want to talk about was that I saw Tommy Tuchel's quote where he said Kane, Bellingham and Foden cannot play together because of his the balance and structure of the team. And also the fact that they have very specialized wingers, which is very important. So they can't play Foden, Kane and Bellingham in the same team.
I think he's correct. I can talk on my own bias. I think he's 100% correct. I don't think that England scrutinized Phil Foden enough, right?
Mm-hmm. He's been on form. He's been on form.
Apparently. Yeah, for his club. He's also been player of the Premier League and he was off form for England. It's not today he's been on form.
In the same season.
In the same, yeah. Kane is son of England, son of King Charles. Like, his place on the team is indisputable, right?
They know they move out, bro.
Right? Bellingham has also contributed enough to that England start, like to that starting lineup. And I think moving forward, he can play the second midfielder, right?
Yeah.
The first person will be Declan Rice or sitting or how he's going to do it, I don't know. But he can play the second midfielder. Foden cannot be that third midfielder. He can't, in my own opinion. He has not done enough for England at any phase of his career. Right? Not when he's on form for CTO, he did off form for CTO, doesn't matter. He has not done enough to be an automatic starter in that England team. And I think Thomas Tuchel is right.
Yeah. But the thing, you said Bellingham, midfielder. That's where I was thinking of the most. Bellingham is probably the hardest to find a position for. Because Foden has come to accept that he might not be a starter. So he's either a 10. Apparently, he's also going to be a 9 as well. They can consider him as a 9. Foden's positions are 10 and 9. But Bellingham sees himself as a 10. Personally, I don't really see him as a 10. I see him as more of a box-to-box. But apparently, Bellingham sees himself as a 10. And that's why he's going to play for England.
I think that I see him that way too. I think it's complicated, right? Just because for Madrid, right, his best performances are higher up the field, right? Like,
yeah.
I think it's obvious now. He's not the sitting. His best performances for Dortmund was
box to box.
Was more box to box. Yes,
yeah.
But for Madrid, it's higher up the field. So finding that balance in England is hard. Like, we cannot just come and accommodate you the way you are doing in Madrid.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he has quality to do the box-to-box part, which is why I would still put him there. And he still has, like, Bellingham still has, like, star quality, clutch quality that can save England. I mean, we all saw the bicycle kick in the last few years, right? So I think Bellingham can still, he's fine by me, right? That's that Foden part, that's the one that's who I have beef with. And that's who I think should not just be an automatic starter. Like 9, 10, 11, I don't even think they should be accommodated. It should be coming on when players are tired and maybe, you know, add your start quality.
The game. Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think Phil Foden should be starting for England. I think they should probably be making more of a case, of course, maybe I have bias, for Cole Palmer than Foden. Because every time Cole Palmer came off the bench, he was looking like he should be starting. Right,
Cole Palmer should be England's 10 going forward. Cole Palmer should be England's 10 going forward, or they should even question it.
Yeah, that's probably. And when he's tired, Morgan Rogers or something,
Gibbs White, yep,
Gibbs White, Allah, but Phil Foden, my guy, no, I don't care because you've had a season where you were Premier League player of the season, And that automatically gave you an automatic starting position for England. They play you on the left, Z. Play you in the 10, Z. Play you on the right, Z. What do you want us to do for you, guy?
Foden is probably a 10 for sure. I don't think he has any other
position. Whatever it needs to be. Okay, I'll tell you why he's even annoying me. Now, right, in the season when he was really good, I think 2 seasons before, he was higher up. Now, in Guardiola's new
system, he's like an 8, basically.
Yes, you see, Guardiola is actually dropping him back to get the ball in those other spaces. It's so funny. It's so funny that he's not even that 10 that he used to be, like, for when in City's previous title winning season. So
I have to know, like,
yeah, exactly. I'm not denying his quality, but this is national team. We have to adjust. Like, for all Fabregas's quality, right? He will rotate with there's Xavi, there's Iniesta, there's Xabi Alonso, like, there's Busquets. Ugas rotates.
I don't think his Foden's position is complicated for England. I don't think he'll start, but he's going to be a 10. He will be despite the quality. He's good on the half turn. I do have a feeling that this guy actually prefers this guy as a 10, Morgan Rogers, because he says something about, he feels that Morgan Rogers is the one that actually pairs up best with Kane as the 9.
I think he's doing soft launch for Cole Palmer in that 10.
I know you think that.
I think he has to take out, the main monster to take out is actually Bellingham, right?
Because yes, I think Bellingham is the conundrum.
Yeah, Bellingham is the true conundrum there, right? And he had to, like, soft launch Morgan Rogers a bit then. But I think he's doing it because, so that when Cole Palmer eventually...
That one is sacrificial lamb. Yes.
Yeah. It's Bellingham.
I don't know, but Bellingham is his headache because he prefers two defensive pivots. He likes Rice and Elliot Anderson. I don't see him dropping those two. So that basically takes out one position for Bellingham. And right now, the 10 position is very, very, very stacked. There are so many players there.
England has a 6 problem, though. They have, like...
No, I mean, I think he's settled on a 6. He's been playing 2 of them for a while now. He's settled on...
Yeah, but that's not... Yeah. None of them are, like... From what I know about Tuchel, he always likes somebody that's, like, a true, like... He would love a Zubimendi. Yeah, he would love a Zubimendi.
How do you roll your eyes?
I mean, I don't really like Zubimendi, but I respect him. Right? But he will love that profile of player. And we all know that Rice's deficiencies as a 6. Right? Like, it's very clear. That is why he's not...
I wouldn't call it deficiency, but...
It is a deficiency now.
He's an 8 for England. He's not really a 6.
He's not a 6 at all in any way.
The 6 is Anderson, basically, right now. The 6 is Anderson and right is the 8.
I need my 6 to be composed under pressure.
That part.
As
clock it.
It's not even, he might not be doing the half turn or the pelo this thing, but he does his role pretty well, in my opinion.
No, he does not. He's just an eight crusher.
He's an 8.
No, he's not. He does not. If he did, Arteta would be starting him as the 6.
No, but what are we talking about him as if he's not the single pivot, he's the 8 for England. That's what he's doing.
Yeah, I know. And that's why I'm saying, like, he would prefer somebody. Maybe this Adam Watson guy will eventually, that's kind of who he really needs.
You don't like Elliot because he's doing well.
I like Elliot, but I think Elliot gives the ball away sometimes. I watch him a lot for Nottingham Forest, and he has improved so well. Right, he's now like their all action guy. Like,
so why does this guy keep playing him over Watson?
Because Watson is not defensively strong. Yeah, because Watson is not, and he's young now. I mean, they're both young, but Watson is not, like, if you start Watson, right, you are taking a risk. Like, you will get the benefits of ball playing, like your football with the champion. But if you're under pressure, man.
Yeah.
You think Anderson is ready for a big team?
Who? Watson?
Elliot. I think he's ready for a big team.
Elliot Anderson? Probably. Apparently, man, you're looking at him. You know what you asked.
I thought Chelsea was.
I'm just saying, bro. Everybody, man, you look at you, that way now come in front of 80,000, 70,000 fans now. It'll be a whole different ball game, and you know, everything is now magnified.
Why is it because of Baliba?
That guy, I'm so glad. That was the one player I'm so happy with those side, man. Thank God. We use clips to hype this boy up. I said this season, let me just like sit down and watch Brighton for real. Let me see this, bro. Halftime, they're subbing him off every time. Hooked at halftime.
They subbed him off today, even in the camera.
Yeah, halftime. They hooked him at halftime.
Wow.
Okay.
Well, maybe he's just doing what he can to, like, reduce the price for Man U. pending this.
Like, I don't want, please. So when he now wants to go to Madrid, he'll be doing what he can to reduce the price. <pressure. laughs> I beg. Please, I don't want. I hate all these players that used to stay and they will say, I'm not training because I'm forcing a move. All these Antonis and Isak. Please, I don't want.
That's crazy, man. It's like paying for his sins. You know, he's not trained. Anyway, I know this guy. What's his name? The biggest debate in England right now is about Bellingham playing as an 8 or a 10. A lot of people see him as an 8, not a 10. Everybody wants him to start, of course. But like you said, I agree with you. I think Tuchel is really not wanting to... I feel like he's just style. No one is, he doesn't want to start him, really. But his hands might be tied because it's Bellingham. It's Bellingham. Yeah. And also, he's not dropping. Rashford or this guy are definitely playing left wing. Either Rashford or this guy, the Gordon. Rashford, Gordon, or even... I know Eze came on today. I actually liked Eze's performance, but
no.
I would want him to play if I'm being realistic.
Eze can't start for England. There's no...
Yeah. His position is very consistent. Too many players.
In Nigeria.
Oh, he's playing. Nah, fuck, okay, bro.
Definitely have more use in Nigeria. Allah.
Oh, I tell you, in Nigeria.
Yeah.
He came out as a left winger today. But that position as well, this guy has shown that he prefers like natural wingers. So he'll be surprised if Eze starts. Well, I think he'll still go, Sha. I'll be surprised if he don't carry him to the World Cup. I think he'll go.
He might not, though. If he doesn't pick up form for the good thing about it, that Aziz tends to like start picking up form towards the end of the season, right? At least for the past 2 years, the past two seasons, he tends to pick up form. But on his Arsenal form right now, I don't think he makes the squad. But I'm confident that eventually he will find it. His form is not like I feel like you guys have been doing confirmation bias. Like, and Arsenal does a lot of confirmation bias. This is not an Arsenal conversation. I'm not steering it towards that.
Yeah.
But Arsenal does a lot of confirmation bias because you've been winning. Right? You've been winning, so there's not a lot to talk about Gyökeres. There's not a lot to talk about Eze. But they have been underperforming.
I would be the first to say that.
Is it good enough to make a 21 man squad of the best England? Come on now.
I don't think so. But I think he will make it because he will pick up form. But it's more of expectation, not on playing form. I wouldn't
count. I would say his form is mid. I wouldn't say it's bad. I wouldn't say it's exceptional.
So on his form right now, you take him for England to go.
No, I think there are other wingers who have been on better form. But I mean, Gordon has not even been on form like that, to be honest. But I think Gordon will go just because of his
specialist.
Like Gordon, Saka will easily go. Rashford will probably.
Saka is probably the most informed England player for England right now.
That on form for Arsenal, but he always perform. Even if he's not on form, he still gives you.
Of course. There are some players that, like, regardless of their form for the national team, they always make it to the. I'm sorry, for their club team, sorry, rather. They'll always make it to the national team because for some reason they seem to perform a lot in the national team.
Yeah. But
I was about to say, why does Jordan Henderson always make this squad?
I don't know.
He won't really make at some point they dropped him. I don't know why Tuchel brought him back.
I don't know. See, Tuchel is a very funny guy. I love him, right? I love him to death, but he can do some very big head scratching things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Henderson has tried for Brentford, but like I think the country as a whole has enough talent to move away from Henderson.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Has enough talent to move away from him. Like it shouldn't be in the conversation right now, man. There's no the young players that he was mentoring, they have now grown up. They're not adults.
Yep.
Right? They don't need any moderation. They don't need any hand holding again. It's okay.
You can go. That's true. But anyway, the players I know in England right now that are pretty much a shoo-in in that team are probably Kane, Rice,
Saka.
I mean, probably Pickford as well.
Pickford, yeah.
Pickford
is never getting dropped.
Yeah, Pickford, I don't even think. Do they have any that? I mean, they have
Pope.
That's disrespect to my boy. What's this guy's name? Former Arsenal keeper.
Former. Oh, Ramsey. Gordon Ramsey, with the way chef off her back. Big.
But Ramsey, I think that should actually be all for today. I don't think we have anything else to discuss. I mean, European qualifiers, we all know who's qualifying.
Now is that. I'm sad Cameroon lost, but I'm happy my boy and Mbeumo didn't get injured.
You should be happy that Cameroon actually lost, so he's not playing again, I guess.
I mean, to AFCON.
Yeah, Mbeumo is not playing against AFCON. I'm happy my boys are not injured yet. At least we want one more game to go. As for Saka and Rice, I don't think Gyökeres went for international.
And after this international break, and this is the last one to World match, so there'll be a good chunk of club time football for a while before. Because I hate when I'm just in the groove of club football, then this international break will just come.
The only reason I'm actually excited for this one is because this is when the qualifiers is over.
This is the only time. I hate when they will stop international break for friendlies. Why are we when they will stop club football for friendlies?
That's the worst. That's the worst. So that rubbish Euro League, what's it called? Is it Euro League? That new tournament.
Nations League.
Yeah, that one that's the one I hate the most. I never even watch it. I think there's only one Nations League match I've watched. France versus Portugal.
Oh, I've watched.
I don't like it. I don't watch it, if I'm being honest.
It's just like the type idea. Exactly. The competition is there.
I like the idea of making, like, instead of friendlies, let's make it like.
Oh, yeah. I prefer to run my friendlies, but I couldn't be bothered. I can't be bothered, to be honest. Can't really be bothered by it. But is there anything else you guys want to talk about? Any football convos? Because I think we are done with our agenda for today.
Yeah.
All right. So actually, this guy is supposed to. The plan was for him to give us his top five clubs every 2 weeks. Well, yes.
Top five. I feel clubs.
Like this national team convo now.
Yeah, that's true. But 2 weeks don't pass. He did not give us his weekly this thing.
Not to tell you.
I know you had lots to say last time he drops his top five. Was he Arsenal, Man City, or something like that?
To win the league, he's top five.
No, top five clubs in the world.
Oh, see trouble. See trouble. At least by Sunday podcast, we're either going to be here crying or here celebrating Nigeria.
That's true. I won't lie, Sha. If we lost today, man, the energy for this podcast was hard.
Yeah.
If we actually lost today.
We also give one word answer.
Yeah, the energy for. Oh well, I will see, Sha. Hopefully we win. I really just see.
Yeah.
Nigeria. If Nigeria misses World Cup in America
for the third time,
I just think it's crazy.
Hey, that's even the main agenda is in America, bro. I'll go there and be supporting Ghana. I'll be Oh my god. Hey, god.
Nah, that would be wild. You can't. We spread with the fan base. Ah, god. Nah, we can't.
Like,
the fact that this situation is still the same, that's home game, bro. Almost every game is a home game, man. Bro.
That whole match for real, bro.
Every match is a home game. In Houston, that one. That's the craziest. Even this Atlanta. Even Atlanta itself, that is a home game.
Literally, the only people that it will be home game for is America.
Yep. It's America. Or yes. Okay, Mexico. Or that kind of Mexico.
Guy, based on yes.
Nah,
yes,
Mexico would be crazy. See, it's only
It's even America more home or Mexico. Guy, I feel like we can even out home America, but we can't out home Mexico. At least
We might be able to out home America, low key, Sha, because of those
crowd control
and football fans. Fanatics, because
fan culture for real.
Yes, how much percentage of them are really core football fans? I mean, they know they support their country, but I feel like half of the Nigerians will have their section and half of the Americans will be Nigerians.
Bam. So now you really have those ones that will be dancing in their green, white, green paint.
Yeah, man.
The ones that will be playing trumpet the whole game. Like, come on, man.
The people I'm worried about are like all these kind of Spanish countries, like Mexico and the rest. Those ones, they have people.
They actually have people. Fan-wise, all these Colombia, Mexico, is...
But they get fans.
Yeah, they get fans.
They have fans die. Like, all these Latino, even like Argentina itself, oh, they go plenty. I'm sure they go plenty.
And those ones were they racist?
And they tell you. The ones and that team, I mean, Ghana will be here. Ghana will get fans. And that's fine Black Stars jersey. Wait, anyway, man, it's been fun.
But yeah, yes, sir.
And you guys, thanks for subscribing. Keep sharing the podcast, liking, comment, tell us your opinions, you know.
100,000 tomorrow.
Exactly. 100%. All right, bro. We go see.
Take it easy, brother.
Yeah. Hey. Go five aside.